Morning.
Morning.
We're going to be in John chapter 19. Thanks, Phil. While we're turning there, again, it's always a pleasure to be here at Land O'Lakes Bible Chapel. You may have noticed I'm here with my kids and my wife is not here with me. She's at Camp Horizon at the Crop in the Woods that they do. It's a retreat that her mom started before mom passed away. And she doesn't scrapbook. She goes and she grades papers and does lesson plans. She's a public school teacher. And she likes to go there, take the weekend. And as a mom, she was worried. She's like, you're traveling this weekend with the kids. You're going to be preaching. But she said, if you're going to be anywhere without the kids or without me, I'm glad it's Land O'Lakes. I'm glad it's there. How supportive they are, how supportive the believers are there. I think if it was anywhere else, she would have begged me to change because she knows what a support she is and how much I need her. But she was thankful that if we were going to be anywhere, it'd be here. With the saints here. So I just wanted to leave that with you all and thank you. John chapter 19, verses 1 through 20. And I'll read it. Read verses 1 through 20 to start. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man! When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify you, and have the power to release you? And Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down at the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king! But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. A lot this morning we've spoken of the love. We've spoken of the love that God has for us, the love that the Lord Jesus has for us. I think it's interesting we consider who God is. And many times I know you've been going through the Gospel of John, and Jesus says, "My time has not yet come. The time has not yet come. The time has not yet come." And then now the time has come. And the word time, coming from the God of the universe, the author of time, it's such in juxtaposition with who he is, and having to wait for the time. You know, God, he created time. This, we read in Philippians chapter 2 this morning a couple of times. We considered Paul's letter to the Philippians, but in our worship meeting we considered Philippians chapter 2 being the very image of God. Right after that it says he made himself of no reputation. You consider who the Son of God is. The reputation, it's why they didn't recognize him, because he made himself of no reputation. Here is the one that, and he mentions it in other, the Synoptic Gospels, of when he's before Pilate, and he speaks of the legions that he could call down. That's the reputation that God has, where for Hezekiah, he would come down, one angel would come down and slay tens of thousands of the enemies of God. That's the reputation that God had. Parting the Red Sea, delivering out of Egypt. And he made himself of no reputation to endure this, the evil of humanity. We wouldn't know, and we still don't know, the fullness of the love of God. And we can't measure it, and we've spoken of that already. The measure that we have, though, is this. And how deep the love that Jesus has, as we read. And we didn't even read. I think as we read this, our hearts, our minds couldn't help but be so serious and so somber. And we're not even at the cross. Through this process, Pilate, and as we consider these verses, Pilate was touched by what was going on. A pagan man, a ruler, a figurehead of the Roman Empire. And he was touched by the Lord Jesus. He had spent, and I know you all have been in chapter 18, in Jesus' time before Pilate. If we go through the Synoptic Gospels and we find, Pilate has tried to get rid of this problem because it just doesn't sit right for him. Something isn't right, and he can tell something's not right, and he's... besides the Lord Jesus, he's the central figure of this passage. He's the main character here of what we read. He tried politically to get rid of the problem. When he found Jesus was from Nazareth, he sent him to Herod. It's the political structure in Judea, the political structure in Israel at the time was the Roman Empire was really good at keeping people happy. And they would keep rebellions from happening by allowing local authority to stay in authority. And so they let the Sanhedrin run Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. They let them do that. And then they also, when the Romans took over, the Israelites weren't in charge. The Jews weren't in charge. The Greeks were in charge. So the Romans left Herod. Herod was what was left over of the Greek kingdom that was there. And he had certain jurisdiction. The Herod of that area had certain jurisdiction. And so Pilate sent him to Herod. And Herod, like always, he just wanted Jesus to do tricks for him. And that's, so we see that if you look in Acts, the Herod that's there for Paul, he just wants Paul to do tricks for him and to entertain him. That's kind of what the Greek leaders would do. And when Jesus wouldn't, Herod sent him back to Pilate. So he tried to do it politically. It's not my jurisdiction, not my problem. As an assistant principal at a middle school, sometimes I do that. If parents call and they complain about bullying at the bus stop or something happened, there's cyberbullying, I pass it off because it takes time and effort. And also all of my students, I love them and I don't want to have to discipline them if I don't have to. I send it off. I can't do anything if something's happening at a bus stop. That is Claremont Police Department. If same thing, cyberbullying, they have a division for that. at the school system, I don't have jurisdiction over that. I understand Pilate's problem. I don't want to have to deal with this, to spend my time in this investigation if someone else can handle it, especially if it's not sitting right with me. And he tries to hand it off to Herod. It doesn't work. It comes back. He brought him into some form of punishment in chapter 18. He would bring him in, and there was some form of punishment, and the Jews still weren't happy. And he showed support for their traditions. You know, it was going to be the Sabbath, and in chapter 18, I know he tried. He said, I always release a prisoner to you. I release a prisoner to you. And he knew in his dungeons it was only really terrible people. And still that didn't work. Not only did it not work, it really made a mockery of his rule, because someone who was accused of doing something that would ruin his leadership, riots ruined local leadership. The governors got fired for those kinds of things in the Roman Empire. And they released Barabbas, someone who was really a criminal, a bad man, back out into society. After that happened, Pilate said, I've got one more thing I can do. And we read that in verse 1. He had him scourged. Scourging usually did not happen before crucifixion. Because if someone was sentenced to be crucified, their sentencing could not be carried out after a scourging, because they would probably die. Not only that, they wouldn't be able to carry the crossbeam, because their back would be completely flesh. And we know from the other synoptic gospels, Jesus wasn't airy to carry that crossbeam because of the scourging. It was a severe punishment. That was usually the end sentence for many criminals, the scourging in verse 1. But Pilate was hoping, and many commentators suggest, Pilate was hoping that that would be the end. They would scourge him and he would be close to death, and then he would show them the punishment that this man had endured, and then they might feel bad and let him just sit in prison and then be released. That didn't work either. So he brought Jesus out after the scourging so that they would see. I had a situation as an assistant principal just a couple of weeks ago where a boy, he's new to our school and he's bounced around a lot. His home life is terrible. I could see in his file from last year, he had 17 discipline referrals. None of them were violent. It was all lack of ID. He didn't have his student ID. They wrote a referral for him, and then he didn't have a ride for the detention, so they gave him a referral for a missed detention and suspended him for 3 days for missing the detention, for which he didn't have a ride to get to. I saw a lot of it was just a lack of relationship with the teachers. By February and April, he was getting defiance of authority referrals because he was fed up with being mistreated. He's tall, dark skin, dreads. People look at him in a certain way. And he's been really good. We looked at his math scores. I got him in an honors algebra class. I begged for him to be in advanced classes. He's doing great. And at PE with some of his friends a couple weeks ago, he made a mistake. And he did something that can get him in big trouble. The parents of the other child, they wanted to meet with our SRO, with our deputy. When I talked to the parents before they got there, and I said, I assure you, we will take care of it as a school. I'll take care of it. I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. And I gave him the biggest suspension I could give him for what he did. And the parents ended up not pressing charges. And I understand Pilate's heart in this. He wanted to give him the biggest punishment that he could so that they wouldn't carry out the crucifixion. They wouldn't want to crucify him. Yeah, I gave the biggest punishment I could to this boy so that the parents didn't go forward and press charges. That would have changed his life. Pilate wants to be rid of this problem, and the scourging was an awful thing to do, but he was trying to be rid of the problem with it. I'll do it and be done. And Pilate has shown throughout the process that he's been struck by this man, Jesus. And he's surprised. He's surprised. He didn't take him in front of the chief priests. I think he had an idea that these chief priests were against him, that they wanted him dead. He went before the multitude. And I know earlier in John, you may have noticed John is careful with what he calls. There's the Jews, those from Jerusalem. The multitude would be Jews from other places. And then you had the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the different people involved. Pilate brings him out in front of everybody, maybe hoping just a few days ago they called. They said, "Hosanna, Hosanna," just a few days ago. Maybe there'll be some support in the crowd. But when the chief priests, therefore, in verse 6, when the chief priests, therefore, an officer saw him, they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And in this chapter, Pilate's struck by a few things that people say to him. What the Jews said, they said in verse 7, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die." That "die," by our law he ought to die, that would be a stoning. If it was carried out in the Jewish order of things, he would be stoned. However, it was illegal for the Jews under Roman law to carry out a stoning. Maybe when you went into chapter 8, you saw that with the woman caught in adultery. It would have been illegal for them to carry out the stoning under Roman law. So Pilate is thinking, they really do want to kill him. And if I have a stoning and it gets back to Caesar that there was a stoning, I'll be in trouble. That's one reason why it may have caught his attention. They're going to kill him no matter what. And if there's a stoning and that's against Roman law, we can't have that. Not only that, but maybe the phrase "the Son of God" makes himself to be the Son of God. That might have caught his attention as well. And probably because of the question, he goes back in and asks Jesus, "Whence art thou?" That's, "Where did you come from? Who is your father? Who is your mother? From where did you come from?" And Jesus doesn't give him an answer. And then, now Pilate's pride is touched. I just asked you a question. You're not going to answer. Coming from a place of authority, you need to answer me. And Pilate says those words to him, "You're not going to answer me. Don't you know who I am?" And Jesus answers, he reminds Pilate of his place. He says, "You have no power except it were given to you from above." And that "above," again, could have two different meanings. The Lord Jesus knows power from above, meaning God the Father, coming from heaven. Pilate knows his power comes from Caesar. And now all those things that the Jews have been saying about he makes himself to be a king, he makes himself, and they bring that out the next time he comes before them. In verse 12, we know, again, John reiterates, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews then touched on the point that Jesus put in his mind, that he's under authority himself. If you let this man go, in verse 12, "Thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." And Pilate is now he's at the end of his rope. He has nothing else he can do. He goes into that place which is called the pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It's at pretty much the highest court. He's sitting on his throne amongst the people. He's sitting in his judgment seat. And John gives us some background. It's the Passover, the sixth hour, middle of the day. And Pilate gets up and he takes Jesus out. This time he doesn't say, "Behold the man." He says, "Behold your king." He saith unto the Jews, all of those from Jerusalem, he's saying, "Behold your king." Pilate is frustrated. He's tried everything he can to rid himself of this problem. We know again from other gospels, his wife even said, don't have anything to do with this man. Have nothing to do with this man. But the sentence is done. And we read that if it wasn't in Scripture, we would not believe it, that the chief priests said at the end of verse 15, "We have no king but Caesar." The chief priests, the Jewish leadership, they're putting themselves under the authority of a pagan emperor. The way I read it in one of the commentaries, they abdicated their claim on anything looking for a Messiah. They're no longer looking for the Messiah. Abdicating their messianic hope. It's done. The Sanhedrin, that was their main purpose, was to look for the Messiah. That was why there was a group of 70, or maybe 71 plus the high priest. That was their purpose, was to look for the Messiah. And they are giving that up. They say, "We have no king but Caesar." And the way John writes that they cried out. It's a different word in the Greek. In some of the texts, it's a different word than what's usually used for the word "they." John uses a word, and it's in many texts, in a Vincent's Word Study. When I look it up in a Greek concordance, it's the normal word for "they." Vincent's Word Study say in some texts, it's a different word for "they," and it's the word "those people." Those people. And we've been talking about the Jews, we've been talking about Israelites and the people in Jews, the Jews that are dispersed, that they're in Jerusalem. John says, "Those people cried out." Like, can you believe it? "Those people. We have no king but Caesar." All of the grief that they put the Lord Jesus through with their traditions and their laws, but in the end, they would bow to the rule of the pagan emperor and say, "We have no king but Caesar." And then he's led away. The word Calvary, it comes up a lot in our songs. It's only once in Scripture. It's in Luke. Luke uses the word Calvary. Everywhere else it's Golgotha. The place of the skull, Golgotha. They crucify him. Again, the other Gospels get more in depth on at least giving a description of the two others. Their malefactors, the two other the thieves. John just says two others. And he opens it up with two others, not describing other people in other parts of his Gospel too. The disciples of John, way back in chapter 1, it was just two. Later we can piece together the names, but it was two that went with Jesus. And then later in chapter 21, when they go fishing, John names some of the disciples and he says, "and two others." Just kind of leaves the two others hanging on the end as if he didn't know who they were. This is John. He knew who they were. Why? The other gospels say, when it comes to the two others, they're thieves, they're malefactors. We know we really get deep in one of the Gospels into what was said between the thieves on the, and we know the thief that ended up turning to the Lord Jesus and being invited by the Lord Jesus to paradise. But here John just leaves it two others. for me, when I think that's me and it's you, it leaves it open. Whether you're a thief, a robber, a malefactor, it doesn't. It's me and it's you. And John to the readers, leaving, and two others. It's me and you there. John also, we know, never cites his own name. Never tells that it's him. He would be the other disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Leaves it open for the reader as we're reading through it, those two others. It's me and it's you there with Jesus. On either side, and Jesus in the midst. And we'll close by looking at the title. Only John writes that Pilate wrote it himself. John's the only one that goes into detail. Pilate wrote this himself. I don't know if the Roman governor would get normally into the details of a crucifixion to write the charge. It was normally just one word or just the crime that would go up there. It's interesting. The words that are used in Matthew, it says the accusation written. Mark, it's a superscription of accusations. And Luke, it's just a superscription. John uses a word for a bill of notice. It's unique. And, you know, the other ones, it's, you know, superscription or the accusation or what the accusation is. This is the word that John uses is the notice. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. The word there for title is a bill. It's just interesting when you look into the words. This is the bill come due for our sin. This is the notice. The bill come due for the Jewish people. For the empires of the world. Rome that sought to be so moral. This is what they did. The Greeks who thought philosophy is the way and we can think our way around the problem and the science that they would get into, inventing calculus, even like the knowledge. This is what it got. And in Hebrew, religion. Religion that was even given by the hand of God himself, put into the hands of people. This is what it got. It was written in those three languages. It was written in those three languages. You know, the three languages that it was written in, Greek and Latin and Hebrew. Again, we could say it's religion, government, and knowledge or science, human wisdom. In Hebrew, that's, again, the religion for Rome, the greatest government, and the Greek. Academics, human wisdom. Every one of us writes a verdict of the Lord Jesus as we make our way through life. Every one of us writes our verdict. Pilate's verdict was, this is the king of the Jews. It wasn't his king. And in the end, that was his decision. It wasn't his king, and we read in other Gospels he washed his hands of the matter and gave it over. Every one of us makes a decision. It's important to know what your decision has been on who the Lord Jesus is. As that sign would have been written in those three languages, John points out that many, many read. It was right outside the city. It's the Passover. There's people from all over the known world coming to see what the Jews do at this Passover. Not just that, but Jews from all over coming. And no matter what, they read King of the Jews. The title in Matthew, this is the King of the, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Mark, the King of the Jews. Luke said, this is the King of the Jews. And John, the full message, the Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews, or Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This, what's written here in John, would have implicated everyone to the crime of sentencing the Son of God to death. Jesus of Nazareth, that puts him in the realm of the Greek of the Greek part of Israel, if he's from Nazareth. Pilate's the one that wrote it, and then King of the Jews, again, the Israel. Everyone is implicated in the death of the Lord Jesus. You and I are implicated in the death of the Lord Jesus. The Sunday school song, Who Killed Jesus? And it goes through everyone. Was it the Jewish elders? Was it Roman guards? Was it Herod? No. It was our sin. Everyone is implicated in the death of the Lord Jesus. What is our title that we give him? Is he Savior? Is he Lord? Is he a good man, a prophet? Is he that King of the Jews, but not my King? As many walked into Jerusalem, they read it. They made decisions. And as we read, especially the Gospel of John, so pointedly clear of who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Creator of the world. Who is Jesus? He's Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, and he is my Lord and my Savior. Let's close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word that we can open it and we can read. We thank you for the Gospel of John and this account of what happened to the Lord Jesus and this character of Pilate, someone who was so used to making decisions. We make so many decisions throughout the day. This was a man who believed he had power, but he was powerless in the face of the will of God. Lord, we pray that as we go through our life, that we would remember who Jesus is, and that we would put that choice to others in our life. Who is Jesus? He's the one who came out of his love for this world. He came and he died on a cross, and he rose again from the dead to prove victory over death. And he's our Savior. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you again for your word that we can open and study and look into it and learn these things and take these things back with us, Lord. And we pray that now you would take us all back to our homes in safety and to our lives where we would be, those of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, that we would be making disciples of all nations out into the world, into our circles, that we would spread our net wide as we go and show others who Jesus is. And we pray these things in his most precious and holy name. Amen.